Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you too. We thank you for making this possible. We ask your grace and your mercy on us today, Lord, to get across the message that we know you want to get across, and that is the importance of your scriptures and the importance of obedience to your scriptures. And we thank you for helping us today, Lord, in Jesus' name, giving grace in every way. Amen. All right, we're going to continue with our study that we have called Word Study, Fools Hate Correction. And this is going to be part two. I want to say also, again, Hebrews 12 and 9, furthermore, we had the fathers of our flesh to chasten us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Of course, if we are not obedient to the Father, we will not live. Some don't believe that, but it's quite clear in the New Testament. And we know in 2 Timothy 3:16 that every scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness. And I do pray that this study will bring respect for the Word and obedience to it. I say again, many of these words are found in the Old Testament, but whether in a physical or spiritual way, they are for us to be warned. Ceremonial law in the Old Testament is a parable that must be interpreted in the New Testament, but moral law is always necessary. And I do believe the scriptures are going to point this out. The way to be obedient is through faith. If a person has true faith, they will have works that accompany that. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 says, now these things happened unto them by way of example, and the Greek word there is type and shadow, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So we left off speaking on words that included hearken not, and I'm going to continue there and study a few more words. Hearken in the Hebrew means to give ear or attention to. In other words, pay attention to what I'm saying. Jeremiah 7, 26 through 29 says, yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff. They did worse than their fathers. And thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken unto thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the nation that hath not hearkened unto the voice of the Lord their God, nor received instruction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thy hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on the bare heights, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken this generation of his wrath. And again, the words that were spoken unto them were for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. Now the church of the New Testament is in rebellion against God, because they don't consider obedience to the New Testament very, very important. Because of that, the church is living under all kinds of curses and must go through a tribulation, yes, in order to be sanctified, in order to learn to respect the Word and fear God. Jeremiah 17 and 27 says, "But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden and enter in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." I do believe some of the palaces will be burned, and I believe it'll be a sign very soon. And, of course, the Sabbath day is a ceremonial law. The word in the New Testament, when it was commanded to Christians, was sabbatismos, which means a continual ceasing, right? Not just one day, but a continual ceasing of your works. It's every day in the New Testament. Okay, so not to bear a burden within the gates of Jerusalem means to not do your own works. And not to come into, Jerusalem is the bride. You cannot come into Jerusalem breaking the Sabbath. You will not enter the bride by breaking the spiritual New Testament Sabbath. And Jeremiah 26, 4 through 6 says, "And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, if you will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I send unto you, even rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth." So, destroyed, removed like Shiloh, because they didn't believe that that could happen. They rebuffed the prophets that warned of that. And can there be a destruction of his New Testament people because of this rebellion? From not hearkening to the words, of course, we're going to see many people pass away because of rebellion against the Word of God, because they didn't believe it was necessary. They had such doctrines that permitted them to ignore the Word of God. And so it is today. They had that doctrine back then. They didn't believe that it could happen as it happened to Shiloh. And they were proved wrong. They'll be proved wrong today too. Jeremiah 35:13-15. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to hearken to my words, says the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. And unto this day they drink none, for they obey their father's commandment. But I have spoken unto you, rising up early and speaking, and you have not hearkened unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now, every man, from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods," other Elohim, right? Another Jesus, as Paul called it, right? "To serve them, or it can be a false god, like something that rules over your life, or it can be a demon that rules over your life and you follow it," you know, same thing, "to serve them, and you shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers." That would be the land of milk and honey, the land of blessing, the land of provision, right? When we walk by faith in the promises, we have God's provision. "But you have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me." So this man, Jonadab, commanded his sons not to drink wine, commanded them to live in tents forever, and of course, not building a house was, a very strange thing, but passed on from generation to generation until this time, they obeyed these things. They gave one excuse, and that was when they fled to Jerusalem in the time of an invasion to save their lives. But other than that, they went back to doing exactly what their father told them to do. Now, if in the natural somebody can obey their father and gives this example to all of Israel that they can obey the father, why can't the rest? That's the father's point here. Why would you not submit to the father, the real father, and live as we shared just a few minutes ago? So if one tribe can do this and would be so obedient as to obey their father, it's such sacrifice. Why could not the people serve the Lord, obey their heavenly Father? And of course, they can. And that's why the Father put them there for a witness. Jeremiah 44 and 16. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. It's amazing that they believe sometimes it is the word of the Lord. Notice, the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord. They believe it, and still they will not hearken. They say the word of God is the word of God, and they still will not hearken. They will not obey because in many cases they have their idols, and that can be their preachers, their denominations, their certain group that they belong to. Doesn't do this, so they don't do it, which is an idol, something that comes before the Lord. So they say it's the word of the Lord, and still they make up doctrines that permit them to be rebellious and to not obey the word of the Lord. Ezekiel 20 and 8 says, but they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not, every man, cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. And so it will be in these days. I know that many Christians believe in this political revival. Things are turning around. Things are looking wonderful. Just think, if it wasn't in this shape and the criminals that were ruling over us ruled now, how bad this would actually be. Well, can God do both? Can God bring about this political revival and remove the really wicked people from over us and still bring chastening? I say, watch and see. Watch and see. Because he will. The things that have been are the things that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. History repeats. Judgment is coming. And it's upon us now. And a lot of people don't even know it because they don't know what living out from under the curse looks like, because they don't even believe the promises of God to depart from under the curse. They think it's the normal Christian life to live under the curse. But you can point out to them, even in the very letter of the New Testament, that God delivered us from the curse, putting our curse upon Jesus, and they will not believe it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or understanding, right? Zechariah 7, 10 through 12. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the sojourner, nor the poor. And let none of you devise evil against his brother in your heart. Oh, there's plotters and schemers, you know. There's Judases out there. There have been from the beginning Judases out there who plot and scheme against their brethren. But the Lord sees that, you see, and he will destroy them just as he did then, just as he did with Judas, just as he did with the Old Testament Judases too. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. Don't want to hear. They have selfish ambition. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. Yes, sir. Hearts are rocky hard. They are not going to listen. And of course, these are not going to ultimately be God's people. Lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore, there came great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Yes, and you think it's different in the New Testament because there's grace. But grace is not God's permission to sin. If we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. Grace is not the permission to sin. Grace is the power not to sin. We receive grace from God because of exercising our faith in his promises. We repent and believe. That was the message in the New Testament. Repent, change your mind, and believe. And because of that belief, God grants grace to obey, to bear fruit, etc. And fruit is nothing less than obedience. That's what fruit is. So wrath came upon them. And they think it won't happen today. But they're wrong. Acts 3:22-23. Moses indeed said, "A prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, like unto me. To him shall you hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." Oh, is it any different? We know that Jesus came as that prophet in the natural, and the people that don't hearken unto his voice, as we can see, receive judgment. And he declared that everyone who did not bear fruit as a branch would be broken off and cast into the fire. And he declared only the people that bore 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit would enter into the kingdom of God. And he declared these things, but they ignore them. So not only did Jesus do this at that time, but history is going to repeat. And there's a visitation of Jesus coming that almost nobody knows about because they didn't understand. The Old Testament people of God didn't understand the visitation of the Son of God in his time. So history repeats. They're not going to understand nor believe that he is coming again in a way that they don't imagine. He's coming as an epiphany. The parousia is at the end of the tribulation period. The epiphany is the shining forth out of his people, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The first fruits is a man-child ministry coming once again to restore the church to its fullness. And inside that man-child ministry, the fruit is Jesus Christ. The Spirit is Jesus Christ. He's coming. He's coming in a way they do not expect. In a body of the Son of Man, again, as they do not expect. And yes, whatsoever he they do to the least of these my brethren, they have done it unto me, as Jesus said. Now let's look at another word that I think leads us down this same trail. Rebellion. Rebellion. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5 says, "And if there arise in the midst of thee a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass." Pretty good sign, huh? "Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods." Now, they don't have to say it in that way, that we have to go after other gods. They don't usually do that. But that's what they do. That's what they do. They go after another God, another Jesus, another Elohim. And it's not the one of the Bible, as they can clearly read and see. He's not the one of the Bible. But you see, selfish ambition blinds people. Lust of the flesh blinds people. Demonic bondages blind people. And of course, this is another God which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or unto that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Okay, so Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He is the true God, the true Son of God. And he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so anybody coming that gives signs or wonders to lead you away. Now, we've seen whole movements like this, and that's exactly what they're all about. The false revival movement was just exactly that, signs and wonders, not the kind that actually destroyed the devil's kingdom. I was there. I watched it. Every once in a while, I would visit and watch it as the Lord would instruct me. And they did signs and wonders, and people thought, oh, this is it, signs and wonders. No, they weren't the kind that you see in the Bible that destroy the works of the devil and his kingdom. They were just for the purpose of awing people about signs, and it was a demon spirit at the very root of it. And many demon spirits inhabited these people. And after that, we had the movement that we call the faction movement. And that, too, is exactly the same thing. Leading people to follow another Jesus. And the lusts in their spirits and in their souls were demon spirits and are demon spirits in order to test people. Notice he said, to prove you. The Lord ordained this provement. He ordained that this proving would come upon them to select the wheat and reject the tares. He ordained this. God sends deception to separate his flock from the tares. And he gathers the tares in bundles to burn them. Birds of a feather flock together. Verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken rebellion against the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. So, put to death, does that mean we have? No, it doesn't mean we have to put them to death. They did in the Old Testament, but we don't do that. The Lord does do it, though. Well, Ananias and Sapphira was a good example. They came to deceive the people of God that they were somebody that they were not. They seemed to be contributing the same, committing all unto God that the rest were doing, but they were deceivers. And they were, and according to the apostle, they weren't lying unto men, but unto God. And God struck them dead. That's still part of the New Testament. Now, they didn't do it any more than Moses, you know, split open the earth and swallowed up the rebels in his time. No, God did it. God gave the sign. The sign was given, and it came to pass. And redeemed thee out of the house of bondage. He brought you out of the land of Egypt, redeemed you out of the house of bondage. And we all know this as that initial salvation that we receive. To draw thee aside out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put away the evil from the midst of thee. Yes, the people who fall into error are generally separated. And it's because they failed the test. He said he would send this to prove you. And they failed the test. Ezekiel 14 is a good example of that, of a prophet coming, bringing deception. And of course, that prophet was cut off from among the people. It was rebellion, as this text talks about. He has spoken rebellion. When someone speaks against the clear written word of God, they are speaking rebellion. Deuteronomy 31, 25 through 29. That Moses commanded the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it by the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. The book of the law is a witness. You're going to be judged according to the word of the Lord. As we're told in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a witness against thee. If God has spoken it, he means it. He will stand beside it. You cannot get him to break his word. Many people spend a lot of time trying to get God to break his own word in order to give them what they want. And he won't do it. Because if he breaks his word, he's not God. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? Yes, and that's exactly what happened. Assemble unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. Did this not happen even in our covenant when men were raised up into some sort of maturity and the people claimed them? And then as soon as they claimed them and as soon as they were dead, they went their own way, still claiming Wesley, still claiming different reformers that brought them some truth. They claimed their name, but they did not follow in their steps. They still claim their name. They pervert history in order to claim their name and depart from the Word of God. Wesley, of course, Moody, of course, people like that, were filled with the Spirit of God. And now these same groups do not believe in being filled with the Spirit with the evidence of the gifts of the Spirit. They've rebelled. They've added to the Word and taken away from the Word for which the Lord pronounces a curse upon them in the last four verses of the book. And evil will befall you in the latter days. Okay, so God has stored up judgment until the latter days to come upon the people who have departed from the faith. And it's going to put the fear of God in many. And many will turn back to God. A remnant will turn back to God and turn away from their newfound religions. Because you will do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. True. And as he said, stored up judgment in the latter days. Well, we call it the tribulation. And for those who still don't repent, we call it the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it will be terrible on all those that enter into it and have not been proven righteous by the end of the tribulation. God will destroy them. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." And witchcraft is usually involved in rebellion. And one of the major spirits behind the faction movement is witchcraft, slander and witchcraft, theft, fornication. All these are common spirits in the faction movement. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee. In some places in the New Testament, that's adokimos, rejected. And it means reprobation, rejected by God. Rejected be thee from being king. Amen. And Nehemiah 9:16-17. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their neck and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them. God gave signs and wonders to confirm the word of God, the true word of God. Does that mean that a false prophet can't come in and bring a false sign or wonder? No, we just read that, and it's true, and God does do that. The main thing is you cannot depart from the word of God, which is what he is repeating all down through here. They hearken not to thy commandments and refuse to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them. So there are wonders that are given, not the kind that were happening in the false revival movement, the silly jerking and twitching and falling and mooing and barking and whatever else, stuff that you don't have any precedent for in the New Testament, you know, and imparting demons by laying hands on people, which I saw happening. No, those aren't the signs and wonders that are biblical, and there's no precedent for them. But the signs and wonders that are biblical are healing the sick, doing miracles, doing signs, doing wonders, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, on and on and on. The biblical ones that confirm the word of God. But hardened their neck, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. And that isn't that exactly what the denominations have done? After their hero died, they appointed a captain that was totally apostate, who the life of Egypt was appealing to, and they led them back to Egypt, so to speak, or back into bondage, whether it was Egypt or Assyria or Babylon or Media Persia. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and forsookest them not. Yes, God is very patient He will chasten to see if you turn. And what we shared last time, he might chasten you many times more to see if you return, and then chasten you many times more. And if the person doesn't turn, they will be reprobated. That's the norm. And then he forsakes them. Proverbs 17:11. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Now, it should be easy to see who is an evil man when they rebel against the word. You point it out to them and they ignore it. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. You know, many people think that Jesus is going to part the skies any moment and come and take them to heaven, take them out of this place where there's tribulation and trouble and chastening for their sins. They think that. But instead, a cruel messenger is going to be sent against them for this rebellion. An evil man seeks only rebellion. A cruel messenger. And it is the beast kingdom, of course, and its leadership is going to come against them to bring them through great trouble and tribulation and to see if there could be any repentance. But God desires obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Jeremiah 28:14-17. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I've put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations. We can see the bondage that the nations are under and the foolishness that they serve, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And of course, we've seen that. We've seen Babylon bring under subjection the nations. It's the head of the eagle, right? It's the eagle head of the nations. It's the head of the beast, right? And they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. Well, the beasts, of course, are likened unto the kingdoms. The individual beasts are the kingdoms of the world. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Oh yeah, you're not going to stay under the beast kingdom. You're going to come out. Everything's going to be prosperity. He was a prosperity preacher. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will send thee away from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast spoken rebellion against the Lord. He made himself a prophet, and he didn't have the gift. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Do you think it's not going to happen today? I tell you that the Lord has shown us very clearly that many of these people who have brought God's people into bondage and deception and turned them away from the truth and turned them away from the fear of God are going to die. Jeremiah 29:32 says, Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people. Does the curse that we bring come upon the children? Absolutely. We have watched this faction movement destroy the children, and the parents don't even care. They look on the great depravity that their children fall into, and they don't even care because they're led and ruled by demons who love it. Neither shall he behold the good that I will do unto my people. God is going to do two things when he returns. He's when he returns in the way I spoke of you of his returning, right? And that is, he is going to judge the Edomites, those that hated their brothers with a root of bitterness. And then he's going to reward the bride, as we've seen so clearly in the book of Isaiah. It's spoken over and over and over. In Ezekiel 2. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do unto my people, says the Lord, because he has spoken rebellion against the Lord. So let's go to another word here, which kind of points out the same thing. Rebel. Rebel. Yes, spoken rebellion against the Lord. Numbers 14, 7 through 12. And they spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it unto us. I've pointed out to you in many different ways that the land represents the good life, not only naturally speaking, we can see here, you know, the provision, the promises, because it was called the promised land, all the promises of God being fulfilled. You know, when you live on the promises, you stand, you put your feet on the promises, he gives them to you, just like he told Joshua. A land which floweth with milk and honey, he says here. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, the giants, right, who you think make it impossible for you to possess the land because of this giant standing in your way who conquers you, right? And that represents the old man. They've served him all their life. They don't know that there is a power against him, most of God's people. The old man is the giant. For they are bread for us. That's right, because they are devoured as the spiritual man conquers the land. They are devoured. Their defense is removed from over them, exactly what Jesus did for us. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. He gave us authority and power over the old man, and they won't admit that. Because the preachers don't admit it, because they don't believe it, because they've never experienced it. How can they take you somewhere that they don't believe in? And the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Yep, total rebellion against the word of the Lord. And they do it today. They stone any prophet or any word of knowledge or wisdom or dreamer that preaches and teaches that we can overcome sin. They stone them. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting unto all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people despise me? How long will they not believe in me for all the signs which I have wrought among them? Boy, did they see some signs, and they did not believe. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. You're going to see some of that. And will make of thee a nation greater and mightier than they. And of course, as you know, Moses was very merciful. He did not want to see the people destroyed. He reasoned with the Father to give them a little bit of an extension, and he did. Joshua 1, 16 through 18. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou hast commanded us, we will do. and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Okay, you know, men are confident that they can obey God if they want to. But you see, when they're in bondage, they can't. When they're in bondage to their flesh and to demon spirits, which are their gods, you know, they can't. They're self-confident. They're not God-confident. There's no faith in God. There's no power in that. The Lord doesn't honor that. Verse 17, according as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that shall rebel against thy commandment, and shall not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Well, they weren't able to keep their word, and their words came right back upon their head, right? 1 Samuel 12:13-18. Now therefore, behold, the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have asked for. And behold, the Lord has set a king over you. Yes, of course, that wasn't God's perfect will at all for them. But they wanted a king like the nations. Right? So he gave them a king. You know, like Saul, who was big and strong, but full of rebellion. He gave him a king. What's different about the churches today? Their doctrine is the Nicolaitan doctrine. They have promoted the pastor to be the king of the church rather than the fivefold ministry which God ordained. Oh, we don't have that today. We don't have apostles and prophets today. So now God's changed this. Where in the Bible can you find such a thing? You can't. They've rebelled and made a king. And this is a dangerous thing. Kings get puffed up, you know, like Saul did and was taken down. So the Lord gave them what they asked for. He knew where it was going to bring them. He gave them what they asked for. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and hearken unto his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, both ye and also the king that reigneth over you, be followers of the Lord your God well. But if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord, and many kings did not, and brought destruction to the whole larger body because they did not, so... And we saw, you know, years of destruction to the United States because of the evil people that were promoted. Evidently, righteousness was not an important thing, but it brought destruction to the economy, destruction to the people, every kind of curse you can imagine upon this nation. So how come righteousness is not one of the criterion for being a king or a president? It should always be. But no. People wanted change. So they'd just take anything. And they did. But rebel against the commandment of the Lord. Then will the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. See, nothing's changed. It's just generation to generation. Now therefore stand still and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he that he may send thunder and rain, and you shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So there's judgments that follow. People asking a king when he wanted to be the king. Actually, ministers of the Lord, their job is to teach you to hear the voice of the Lord and follow him. And yes, they are to be obeyed. All of the fivefold ministry are to be obeyed in their gifts that they have from the Lord, because those are gifts of the Lord himself in them. They are to be obeyed. We are commended to obey them. But their purpose is to prepare us to hear the Lord, each and every one of us. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Yes, you could get wiped out, much like the deep state is doing today by sending floods all over the nation to destroy the crops. They say this is going to be a very bad year. They say, of course, in the scripture that the king of Babylon came against God's people with famine. And that's what they have done. So if you want, pray for that, because it's happening. And it's a sign of this right here, this text right here. Job 24, 12 through 17. From out of the populous city men groan, and the soul of the wounded cry out. Yet God regarded not the folly. These are of them that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. Now we know the light is the word of God, right? It's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. The murderer riseth with the light. He killeth the poor and needy. Oh yes, there are murderers out there. The Bible speaks of them shooting from darkness at the upright with their tongue, right? They do murder people. And in the night, notice what the mass media out there, who are the false prophets of the wicked, notice what they do. Look at the crazy people out there who have received demons for listening to them. That's exactly what happened with the faction movement. Slanderers, the news media doesn't have to have proof for anything anymore. They can say anything they want. And the demons enter into the people, and they're just as crazy as they can be. And in the night, he is as a thief. Yep, that's big in the faction too. Big, big thieves. The eye also of the adulterer, yep, another one of their problems. Whether it's in the government, notice, whether it's in the government or whether it's in the church, the faction movement has this. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me. And he disguises his face. We sent a warning just recently here to a man who was sneaking around on his wife. He was in the faction, but we don't generally consider that they're going to listen to us. And he didn't. He was doing exactly this. In the dark, they dig through houses. They shut themselves up in the daytime. They know not the light. For the morning is to all of them as thick darkness. For they know the terrors of thick darkness. Yep, they don't like to come out in the light. They are cockroaches. Right. Psalm 78, 17 through 25. Yet went they on still to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And they tempted God in their heart by asking food according to their desire. We know what the food that was supposed to be given to them was the manna, right? Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? In other words, can he prepare food in the wilderness? Well, he did, the manna, but they got tired of the manna. They didn't want the manna. They wanted flesh. Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Will he provide flesh for his people? And that's exactly what they cried out for. And you know what the Lord said? I'll give them flesh till it comes out their noses. They'll be sick of it. Therefore the Lord heard and was wroth. and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also went up against Israel, because they believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation. Yet he commanded the skies above, and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down manna upon them to eat. He gave them food from heaven. Man did eat the bread of the mighty. He sent them food to the full. And Jesus proclaimed himself to be that manna from heaven. And he said, except we ate his body and drank his blood, we had no life in us. But no, the people don't want the manna from heaven. They want flesh. They want somebody to tell them what they want to hear, to tickle their ears, and so on. That's what they want. That's what they desire. So there is a massive rebellion against the manna and the man, Jesus Christ. A massive rebellion. And the only thing that can cure this is the fear of the Lord. I believe we're going to see a demonstration that's going to return the fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about just one thing. I'm talking about many things. It's going to return people to the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. Some people do not have the beginning of wisdom. They may have been with what they call Jesus for many years, but they still don't have the beginning of wisdom. They don't go back to the Word and realize that you're going to be judged according to the Word. It doesn't matter what your preacher says. It doesn't matter what your denomination believes. It only matters what the Word says. And you can't add to it or take away from it under threat of His curse. And many are living under this curse and dying under this curse. And Psalm 78, 37 through 43. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being merciful, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all of his wrath. And he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they rebel against him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? They turned again and tempted God and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he redeemed them from the adversary. People need to remember when they were delivered from the adversary. They walked free, even though in ignorance they were walking free. All they had to do was continue transforming their mind by the Word of God, repenting, in other words, which means to change your mind. Even though all they had to do is continue in that way, and they would have matured in the Lord and escaped judgment. But when people step out of the way, out of the narrow road, into the paths of darkness, God has to send a correction. And then if they don't listen, he sends more correction and more correction. Yet they never think to go back to the Word and find out where they're missing it. So they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he redeemed them from the adversary. How he set his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. Yes, look what happened to the Egyptians. Look what happened to the old man. We don't have to follow him anymore. He made you free from sin. Romans 6. Isaiah 1, 18 through 28. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red with crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen. In other words, the land will bear its fruit unto you. You see, in one form, this natural life that we live in is the land. And your spirit man is the spiritual man who conquered the promised land, right? The Israelite. And the ones being conquered, the Canaanites, that's your flesh. So there's a war going on for that land that you live in. And woe be unto anyone who loses that war. This is what he's saying. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And how is the faithful city become a harlot? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Yes, and how many murderers ruled over Jerusalem and over the people of God? How many? Apostate Jerusalem always met with disaster in the scriptures, and always under a wicked ruler. God gives people a ruler that they deserve. If the people are bad, they get bad rulers that lead them into judgment. God's giving grace right now. He's going to give an opportunity by bringing us under better leadership. I'm talking about in the natural realm. But if the people don't turn after seeing this mercy and this grace, guess what follows? Yes, the beast, the mark of the beast. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water, a mixture, right? Dilution. That's what they immediately start to do after their reformers die off. They begin to dilute in every case. Every denomination has fizzled. Because denominations are against the word of God. They're foolishness. Right. 23. Thy princes are rebellious, a companion of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and followeth after rewards. Wow, are we finding that out more and more daily? If the government of this United States was totally turned over to Satan, they served Satan knowingly for the rewards. They sacrificed many people to their god, Satan, for power. And now they're getting caught. Around the world they're getting caught. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore, says the Lord, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries, kind of what he's doing right now, right? And avenge me of mine enemies, kind of like he's doing right now. And I will turn my hand upon thee and thoroughly purge away thy dross. Now that's the people of God. And I will take away all thy tin, which is tin is, of course, an alloy, it's a mixture. We're not supposed to be mixtures, right? And I will restore thy judges as at the first. This is what the Lord is about to do. And thy counselors as at the beginning. And afterwards thou shalt be called a city of righteousness, a faithful town. Yes, God is going to raise up Zion from a people who are returning from Babylon, He's going to raise up Zion. He's going to raise up the temple of God. And there shall be a righteous witness in the earth. Zion, the bride, and the man-child are going to be a righteous witness in the earth. And many are going to follow. Not the multitudes, but many. Zion shall be redeemed with justice. That's the bride. And her converts with righteousness. But the destruction of transgressors and sinners shall be together. We will be able to see God judge the wicked who call themselves Christians and are not, who have a false God and serve him. And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. It is written, and it will happen. We have these types and shadows of the falling away and the judgment of sinners for a purpose. A child can understand them. But those who are headlong into wickedness, they will not obey. They will not listen. Hosea 7, 8 through 16. Ephraim, the one who was called the fullness of nations. It represents the church of the fullness of nations, which, by the way, has rebelled against the Jerusalem leadership of Jesus, who sits upon the throne of David. They've rebelled against that, as Ephraim did. And here it is again. He mixed himself among the peoples. You know, if we obey the word of God, and it's important, 1 Corinthians 5 tells us very plainly that those who are in willful rebellion against the word are rejected. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Put forth the old leaven from among you, right? That's what he told them to do there. And if you do that and you are a holy people, then as a people, you will receive the benefits of the kingdom. And if you're in a place where this mixture is, get out, because judgment is coming there. Ephraim, he mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake, not turned. In other words, he isn't prepared through and through to be food to eat. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yes, they don't know. They don't have the strength of a Christian. They don't know that they were to be created in the image of the first Christians. Right? They don't know it. They've been lied to, and they love it. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, and he knoweth it not. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Yet they have not returned unto the Lord their God, nor sought him for all of this. And Ephraim is like a silly dove without understanding. They call unto Egypt. They go unto Assyria. They return by the way which they came, right? Out of the beast kingdoms, back to the beast kingdoms. And when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the birds of the heavens. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Yes, and when you see the chastisement, stop and wonder, stop and figure, why is this upon me? Why? Is there some correction the Lord is trying to make? Since he is a sovereign God over all judgment, what is he trying to show me? Don't say within yourself, it's the devil doing this because I'm a Christian. Because that causes you to be inoculated from anything, any chastening that the Lord can do. God is the one who works all things after the counsel of his own will. No one restrains his hand, nor says unto him, what are you doing? Right? It is the Lord. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. He has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Don't say it's the vessel of dishonor. Look behind him and see that it is the Lord. And then you can ask the Lord, why is this upon me? Have I transgressed your covenant? Am I under chastening because of this? You know, the devil has told the faction that I'm the cause of their judgment, of their curse. They admit there's a curse upon them. And they blame it on me. And I always tell them, no, the curse that is causeless alighteth not. It's the word of God. It's very clear. In other words, you have to look to God. If there is a judgment, look to God and find out. 13, woe unto them, for they have wandered from me. Destruction unto them, for they have trespassed against me. Destruction comes because they've trespassed against the Lord. Though I would redeem them, he would spare them the curse. Yet they have spoken lies against me, justifying themselves most always, justifying themselves. I'm okay because you're bad. Therefore, I must be good. That's their thinking, you know. Have you seen this work with the Trump situation? They were guilty of everything they blamed him for. It's the same in the church. Everything they're blaming on someone else is them. It's what they're doing. And they have not cried unto me with their heart, but they howl upon their beds. They assemble themselves for grain and new wine. They rebel against me. The only interest they have is feeding their flesh, right? Though I have taught and strengthened their arms, yet do they devise mischief against me. They return, but not to him that is on high. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword, for the rage of their tongue. Notice, for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. God said it, he spoke it, and it's got to come to pass. All right. Well, I thought it would be a good idea to maybe finish. I never know when I'm finished. Sometimes the Lord makes a part three, you know. But to maybe finish with the opposite of what we're seeing about rebellion and those that cannot be corrected, you know. The opposite is obedience. And I thought, well, here's the problem when you preach on obedience. Many of the words, if you do a search that we've searched for so far, end up being in the Old Testament. But obedience is mentioned in the New Testament. Now, some people think in the New Testament that they don't have to obey because grace covers that. They don't know that grace enables a person to obey, and it comes through faith, real faith. And they don't know what faith is. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. We're saved by faith, meaning we don't see the fullness of our salvation. We're believing for the end result, and we're claiming it. That's what faith is. And obedience is necessary in the New Testament. It says so. If you have a doctrine of once saved, always saved, so that you basically inoculated yourself so that you don't have to obey, you're just going to kill yourself. Because you do have to obey to avoid the curse. And in order to do that, you have to believe what the Scripture says. As the Scripture hath said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. So when you do that, of course, God gives grace to obey. So I thought with this last word, I would look in the New Testament, because there's so many people that think and believe the doctrine that rebellion's okay in the New Testament, because grace just covers that. And obedience is not necessary because of greasy grace. Right? So I stuck kind of with the New Testament on this one. Romans 1 and 5. Through whom we received grace and apostleship unto obedience of faith. Oh my goodness, look at that. The obedience of faith among all the nations for his name's sake. So faith has obedience? Yes, faith without works is dead in itself, we're told. Faith has obedience. And faith is what brings obedience. You see, the people that say you can't obey God, you can't be perfect, is people that are counting upon their own ability. And you don't have any old your own ability to walk holy before God. This is a gift of grace from God that comes to those who believe. By grace have you been saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, obedience of faith. In other words, the obedience that comes from faith. This is what we need. This is what we must have. So when they say they can't obey, it's because they don't know the gospel. They don't know the very simple gospel. In Romans 5 and 19, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So listen, one man can pass on sin to all of his seed. And it happens all the time. It wasn't just the first man. As through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, shall the many be made righteous. How can you raise up a child in the way they should go if you don't know the Lord and you don't know his word and you keep twisting and tweaking his word so that you can live the way you want to live and you're just passing on your curse to your children? The first man lost dominion over the earth and over the curse because of sin. His servant you are, whom you obey. Right? The last man did not lose his authority over the earth because the devil tempted him and he won. The Lord won. He overcame. So, even so, through the obedience of the one shall the many be made righteous. Right. Through faith in Jesus, we shall be made righteous. We continue that genealogy of Jesus by walking in his steps through our faith, because our faith gives us the obedience. Amen? So, naturally, the next word, Romans 6 and 16, know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death. Notice, sin brings you to death. Some people say, no, it doesn't. I shook a preacher's hand. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Notice, obedience unto righteousness. You say, but David, we're justified by faith. Well, that's true. You are justified. You are accounted righteous by faith. But that's real faith. And it really brings justification too. It manifests justification too. And yet, It's true, we're justified by faith, but that faith brings obedience. As servants unto obedience. As servants you are whom you obey. When you obey the devil, that's sin unto death. I'm not necessarily talking about only physical death. There's other death, and it's worse death than physical death. And that's death to God, death to righteousness, death of the old man. Romans 15 and 18, for I will not dare to speak of any things save those which Christ wrought through me for the obedience of the Gentiles. For the what? The obedience. Oh, I thought they just needed to accept Jesus as a personal Savior. Which is not in the Bible. For I will not dare to speak anything, save those which Christ wrought through me for the obedience of the Gentiles. So the apostle spoke things that brought obedience to the Gentiles by word and deed. By word and deed. Oh, that's not necessary. Don't you know? Once saved, always saved. But they're not saved by manifestation. They're only saved by faith. And faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. Oh my goodness. They don't even understand salvation. When you're saved by faith, it means you're not saved by manifestation. What is saved by manifestation? Look at Jesus. There's your answer. That's what it is right there. And how do you get there? By faith, you reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. You behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, as from the Lord the Spirit. Amen. And Romans 16 and 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Wow, they were famous for being obedient. Not famous for getting away with everything they can get away with because they shook a preacher's hand, right? I rejoice, therefore, over you, but I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. So many people are studying the evil, studying the evil. Thinking on the evil. Their mind is thinking evil things. And they think they can escape sin and do the works of God. Not possible. Not possible. His advice to those who are obedient is to be wise unto that which is good. Study the good. Think on the good. Speak the good. And simple unto that which is evil. Don't study the evil. Don't stick the evil in front of your face. Right? Don't watch the stupid TV. And especially the national news. Romans 16:26. But now is manifested by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, is made known unto all nations unto the obedience of faith. Unto the obedience of faith. There is a purpose for faith. It's not actually fulfilled until there is obedience, because obedience comes from faith. Faith without works or corresponding action is worthless. You say you believe in Jesus, the demons believe in Jesus. And they won't obey either. 2 Corinthians 9 and 13. Seeing that through the proving of you by this ministration, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession unto the gospel of Christ. Notice that. The obedience of your confession unto the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you confess the good news? What is the good news? It's the promises of God of his redemption from the curse and from sin and from bondage to the devil. Do you confess that, or do you confess the curse all the time out of your mouth? How can you be obedient if your faith is in the curse? And it will be proven whether your faith is in the curse by what comes out of your mouth. Confession means to speak the same as, right? Homo legeo. The obedience of your confession unto the gospel of, unto it, meaning coming unto it, unto the promised land, the good promises of God. Obedience of your confession. Some people think, oh, name it and claim it. So that just totally inoculates them. They don't have to say anything good. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, until you are manifestly saved from the curse and sin. Oh, so that's what obedience is. Yeah. For the liberality of your contribution unto them and unto all. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, not the way man wars, right? Just consider that, because many Christians believe that they should war according to the flesh. They should fight the way man fights and against who men fight against. Which is all false. We've entered into a new kingdom. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. These are not our weapons. These are the world's weapons. Why join with the world against the world? We don't belong in that kingdom. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. You hear a lot of political problems out there, and immediately Christians go to work by trying to get enough people on their side to go and do something with some congressman or whatever, you know. No, that's not where our power lies. Our power lies in believing and speaking the word of God and exercising our dominion in the earth and over the devil and all over all the power of the enemy. That's where our power lies. If you don't realize that, you've yet to walk into the kingdom and speak the word of God and watch God bring it to pass. But mighty before God to casting down of strongholds. Why do you think this revival is happening? First of all, because God revealed he wanted to do that. And then he wanted you and your prayers and your dominion to be spoken so that it came to pass. And it's happening. Why? Because the majority of Christianity is doing it? No, they're doing nothing but moaning and groaning and complaining. They're doing nothing. We are the sons of God, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God. What does the knowledge of God say, that he gave us dominion over all the power of the enemy? That what we bind on earth is bound in heaven? That we have authority over the kings of the earth? What are these imaginations? You know, they're all imaginations of the curse and what will happen and what we see happening instead of what we see the Bible says we have authority to do. If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast under the feet of men. We're the salt of the earth. We're here to preserve. Everything that's exalted against the knowledge of God can be destroyed by casting down imaginations and bringing every thought into the captivity to what? the obedience of Christ. So our thoughts can bring the obedience of Christ. We must have our thoughts in obedience before our tongue will exercise the authority. And being in readiness to avenge all disobedience, when your, look at this, what does he say? When your obedience shall be made full. So the people whose obedience is made full, which of course we've heard from the preachers that this can't happen. It just can't happen. So when your obedience is made full, God can use you to avenge disobedience. Mm-hmm. That's right. But he's using you to do something that he wants to do. That he wants to do, right. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9 says, who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. For goodness sake, if Jesus had to do this, do we not? He offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And having been heard for his godly fear, do you fear God? Does the scripture make you tremble before God? Do the verses that we've looked at about obedience make you tremble before God? Having been heard for his godly fear, fear is godly. The fear of God is godly. No. Though he was a son, yet learned obedience. He learned obedience. Some people say you can't be obedient. So how can they learn to be obedient? Because they don't believe it's even possible. Right? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Okay, so the things you suffer is like, that was painful. I don't think I want to go there again. So, Lord, show me how to walk in your paths where there is safety and where no beast can come up thereon. Right? Yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect. Oh, that's not possible. They tell us that's not possible. What they're saying is God can't do that. Having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. Can you author eternal salvation? Now, we know it all came from God, but can you pass on salvation to someone else? Yes, you can. We are ministers of that, of the reconciliation. The reconciliation is the exchange of Jesus' life for your life. And that's what we do when we preach faith to people, is we take away the curse and we give them the life of Jesus. So we're passing out eternal salvation by doing this. That's our job. 1 Peter 1 and 2 says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification of the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit. Unto obedience. It leads to obedience. If you can't obey, you're not there. And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Yes, the sprinkling of the blood. Glory be to God. I've shared before, my friend Bolivar had the dream about going up a mountain, which we considered it to be Mount Zion. And he was a brown man, but when he was going up the mountain, it was raining, and everywhere the raindrops touched him, he turned white. He laughed and chuckled about that, you know, and we did too. And he turned white, and before he got to the top of the mountain, he was white all over. Of course, that's spiritual, not physical. Now, so don't get mad at me. unto obedience. In other words, this sanctification of the Spirit brings us unto obedience. And the sprinkling of the blood, which makes us white. We're washed in blood. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Right? All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Why don't they believe the word of God? 1 Peter 1 and 14 says, as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts, which is disobedience, rebellion, not hearkening unto the Lord, and so on. In the time of your ignorance. See, a person that walks like that is ignorant. And as long as you're ignorant, you can't have faith. You can't have faith for something you don't know is yours. It's already yours. He made you free from sin. Believe it and walk in that direction, right? Children of obedience. This is the people. There are rebels leading churches down the road of rebellion, even while they believe they're Christians. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. Oh my goodness, look at that. How do you purify your souls? In your obedience to the truth. Unto the unfeigned love. There's a feigned love, a fake love out there among Christians. Unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. Love one another from the heart fervently. You have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. Okay, I'm going to do this again. We're going to look at obey. Acts 5, 28 through 32. Saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us where it belonged. You know. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew, hanging him on a tree. Well, that they weren't being politically correct here, were they? They weren't trying to sway anybody with kind words. Him did God exalt with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Uh-oh. Did you see that? God gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. In what way can a person be in rebellion and not receive the Holy Spirit? Well, their doctrine could be that they got the Holy Spirit when they were saved. They don't need all them gifts and stuff. Oh, definitely not that speaking in tongues stuff. Oh, no, you know. So they don't say what the Bible says. And they don't believe what the Bible says. They're in rebellion. God gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. First of all, if you obey him, you're going to desire to be filled with the Spirit because you're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Yeah. You're in rebellion if you refuse to be filled with the Spirit automatically. Romans 2, 7 through 9. To them that by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. Okay, a person that's patient in well-doing and they seek for this honor and incorruption, they can have eternal life. You say, but I already got eternal life. You got it by faith. Do you want it by manifestation? Or would you rather just have a faith that doesn't lead you there? I mean, people start out believing by faith for a healing. But when they get double-minded, they don't get it. Is it the same? It's the same. Everything. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord, right? But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth. If you're factious, you will not obey the truth. In fact, you'll ignore it. You'll have no conscience of it whatsoever. I know. We watched it. But obey unrighteousness shall be wrath and indignation. You faction out there, you're headed for wrath and indignation. In fact, you've tasted of it pretty good. I know that. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil. Every soul of man that worketh evil. Of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. Mm-hmm. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Did you see that? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. A command from the Lord that you should obey the lust thereof. Now, how can he give a command that we can't possibly obey? No, you see, they're liars. Galatians 5 and 7. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Truth demands obedience. Children, obey your parents in all things. Colossians 3 and 20. There it is. For this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Obey your parents in all things. So don't let anybody tell you you can't be obedient. Colossians 3 and 22. Servants, obey in all things them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now, this is not somebody in the kingdom that's necessarily nice to you and all these other things, you know. It's your masters according to the flesh. They just rule over you, right? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. So some people are going to work while they're being looked at, right? They're being watched. And when they're not watched, they'll slough off, right? But not to serve the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8 says, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Obey not the gospel. We have to obey the gospel. We have to obey the good news. It must be important to us. It must be in our lips. We must be walking in it. Hebrews 5 and 9. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him. Look at that. That obey him. The author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 13 and 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit to them. For they watch in behalf of your souls. As they that shall give account. Anybody that knows that responsibility, they're serious about it, you know. And they'll try to turn you away from sin. As they that shall give account, that they may do this with joy. Are you making their job easy, or are you making it hard on them? And not with grief, for this were unprofitable for you. This will not profit you if you're making the life of these rulers miserable. It will be bad for you. James 3, 2 through 4. For in many things we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man. Now, why would he say that if there's nobody out there like that? That would be ridiculous. We know it's not possible. Yeah. If any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. So if a person doesn't stumble in their words, they can bridle that body. they can make that body serve them and serve others. Now, if we put the horses' bridles into their mouths that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. So, stumbling not in word, speaking the truth, confessing the good salvation of the Lord, confessing that we can be obedient, will turn about the whole body also. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great, and are driven by rough winds, and are yet turned about by a very small rudder, whither the impulse of the steersman willeth. Now that's the tongue. That little tongue is able to turn the whole body. If, first of all, your thoughts are ordered of the Lord, and you demand that your thoughts be what God commands them to be, whatsoever things are good and lovely and of good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you have those good thoughts in your mind, then that's what's going to be coming out of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when it comes out of your mouth, guess what? It turns the ship. Don't say, I can't. Because you won't. Say, I can, because you want to. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, right? And you can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. Don't say you can't. Maybe you won't. Maybe you don't want to. But if you want to turn about the ship, you better start agreeing with the gospel, with the good news. 1 Peter 3:1 says, in like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives. Of course, we influence other people. They're convicted of sin, because when they're treated wrongly, they turn the other cheek. They're convicted of sin. So a wife has everything to do with changing an unregenerate husband. In like manner, you wives be in subjection, even if they're not in subjection to the Lord, because it says that even if any obey not the word. So don't say it's an excuse that he won't obey the Lord, so I don't have to obey him. Don't say that, because the Lord denies what you say here. Be subject to your own husbands, that even if any obeyeth not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives. Right. Don't nag them. Don't say, hey, you're supposed to be doing this. This is what the Bible says. This is what, and then beat them over the head with the Bible. That's not usually going to get you very, very far, you know, obviously. But they respect a respectful person more than they respect somebody who's beating them over the head with the Bible. Yes, if you can say it gracefully, that's fine. They need to hear the word. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time is come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? What is the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? You see, the Bible demands obedience. And judgment begins at the house of God. Now, we haven't even started the tribulation yet. Some people say we have, but we haven't. So what is happening now? What is going to cause the people of God to run into the wilderness to learn from the reformers, the man-child that's going to teach them in the wilderness for the first 3.5 years? What's going to cause them to do that? There's judgment coming before the tribulation. Yeah. And some of you already know about it because it's happening to you. So it begins with us, first, at us. God needs to get us straight so we can see clearly to get the mote out of our brother's eye, right? And if he's beginning at the house of God, what's going to be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? I'm talking about in the so-called church too. Because some people, the church is a building and you can put anybody in there. But the church is the called out ones. And that's a very much smaller group of people. The ecclesia is the called out ones. So in a church building, you can have all kinds of people, but not in the church. So Father, what we've seen today is what you've shown us from your word so very clearly is that you expect obedience and that faith is a way to be obedient and that repentance is necessary to receive grace from you. Repentance and faith. Change your mind and believe. That's what God is saying. Change your mind and believe what he says. And if you sit in front of a preacher that keeps telling you something that's contrary to the word of God, you need to get out. You can see what it does to people. You can see that if it doesn't have a way to create a person in the image of Christ, then it's not doing you any good to sit under that and have false words put in your mind and in your thoughts and in your imaginations that will not enable you to obey God. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Don't touch the evil thing, right? I'll be to you a father and you'll be to me sons and daughters. Come out from among them and be separate. Don't pollute your mind with the garbage that comes over most pulpits. Father, we ask for grace today. We ask that some will go back and look at the texts of these verses and study them and give thought to them and have a conviction, to have a conscience to obey your word. Because fruit is obedience. In every case, go back and meditate, folks, on what the fruit of the Spirit is. In every case, it's obedience to God. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you would convict everyone that you are creating sons of God, not just children of God. It's a difference. There's a difference. Sons of God. And sons of God become that way because they behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. The power comes from the Lord the Spirit. But we've got to accept by faith that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. That's why in the mirror, by faith, we see Jesus. And that we don't live anymore. Father, we ask you, Lord, that your people would get the revelation of faith and the obedience that it brings. And that the people that say they have faith but don't have works are liars. Churches are full of people that say they have faith, but they don't have the works. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Because he sacrificed his life and also came back to live in a corporate body called the body of Christ, in whom Christ lives. Thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, bless us mightily. Bless all that are under the sound of my voice today. And thank you for drawing us and causing us to come to that place of obedience and give up the rebellion. In Jesus' name, Amen. Thank you so much, saints, for joining us today. I love you. Please pray for me and pray for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. And now, the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. Good night.